Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Now, what is an idol? An idol is something that eclipses the face and the known will of God. Could be a little figurine, a statue of some kind. It could be Baal. It could be Asheroth. It could be Molech, whatever. But in modern days, we can be just as susceptible to idol worship. What are you talking? I don't bow down to Buddha. Well, good, if you don't. But also, there's other things that you do bow down to. I don't think so, Steve. Yeah. What about fear? What about resentment? I do well until I think of that person. Ooh, what they've done to me. Can't be an idol. You know what's one of the biggest idols, I think, in America right now? Feelings. Feelings are one of the biggest idols in the Church of Jesus Christ than ever before. What do you mean? If I don't feel like doing it, then I won't. And feelings are so often way in front of what God's Word says. Husbands, love your wife like Jesus Christ loves on you. I don't feel like it because she's a real creep. Wives, submit to your husband. That is to say, support. No, I don't feel like it because he's a real creep. And you have two people not doing what God's Word says, more or less because they don't feel like doing it. Verse 3, one more time. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. When they follow those idols, they're going to blow their lives up. Should I let myself, notice myself is capital, should I let myself be inquired at all by them? It's a rhetorical question. What do you think the answer might be? Please watch carefully. Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into sin and then comes to the word of God, I, the Lord, will answer. And here's how I'm going to answer. According to the multitude of his idols. Better let that one sink in because it's huge. Look, I've prayed and God gave me total peace about leaving my spouse. I don't doubt that they felt something practically supernatural. And because it feels good, feels supernatural, God has given them the voice of their own idol. And that's what they are hearing. How many of you, that shudders you just a little bit? Oh, it should all of us. If we can't go to the Lord, like Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. How does God search us? The different story. But the most of us, I don't have to be excellent on my job. Well, God's Word says you're supposed to be. No, because you see, my boss is a real jerk. So I get to be something less than what God's Word says. and there's a peace in my spirit about it. Oh, I don't doubt it, because God has answered you according to the multitude of your idol. I can't tell you how many heart-wrenching meetings that Nicole and I and some of the leadership here at Harvest has been, when they look us square in the face and they say, we've prayed about this, and we're going to press ahead with this decision. Well, yeah, but to do so completely contradicts what God's Word says. Jesus said, they will know that you are mine by how you love one another, and what you're doing is ripping and tearing at God's house and God's people. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because I have a right. And in their own mind, they believe they have a supernatural confirmation. What is it, beloved? Read it one more time. I, the Lord, will answer him who has an idol in their heart. I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. Sobering? Back to Joshua. That's a big one, you guys. One of the last and most important principles of the promised land in the last chapter of the book of Joshua. If I go to the Lord and I've got yeah buts in my mind and heart, I'm the exception. If I've got idols in my heart and life, my idol is what I'll hear. And I will launch out into some spectacular destruction and sin, and all the while thinking, I'm so in God's will. I heard it. I felt it. Yeah, that's because God answered you according to your idols. Verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot. What do you mean? We said we can. We had a great worship service and everybody said yes and amen. And listen, Jesus, we are going to follow you always. No, you're not, says Joshua. You cannot. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, he's talking about these specific people who have had the greatest revelation of God than practically any humans under the sun. And even still in that advanced state of revelation, they still choose idols over him. This is akin to, this is the model of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What more can the Spirit do? If you're in that situation, if you forsake the Lord, and that verb there is continually. How many of you ever do sin now and again? The answer is all of us. But hopefully, if you're trying to live in the Spirit-filled life, when you do, you feel pretty awful about it. And you fall at the cross, and you ask the Lord, it may be 57 times, but there's something in your heart that says, Lord, I know that you will deliver me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this sin? And you're counting on the day when he does. And by the way, until that day comes, keep thanking him and keep saying stuff like, well, I haven't seen it yet, Lord, but I want to thank you for answered prayer because I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Thank you for answered prayer, Lord, because I know it's coming. Not these people. You know who they're very similar? Hold your finger here. Join me in the book of Galatians. The New Testament equivalent is this. Galatians chapter 5. Look down there to verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident in these. Here's how you know the flesh is doing the driving. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Your brain is constantly entertaining non-God stuff. And eventually, as you think in your heart, so you will be, and that moves to lewdness, which are the outward manifestations of what was playing in the theater of your mind. And here it is, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft, says the King James, the Greek word is pharmakia, It's where we're going to get our word pharmaceuticals from. There has something to do with drug use, anything to alter the good quarterback that God gave my brain. But when I anesthetize it with drugs of some kind, oh my, has that become an open door for spiritual shenanigans. All right, none of those. What about this one? Hatred, contentions, and jealousies. You know what jealousy is? You want more of something that you already have plenty of, says the Lord. Outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions. Where you go, are you blowing things apart? Or are you an agency of healing? If wherever you go, you're pitting one against the other and blowing things apart, believe you me, that is not the Lord. Heresies, envy, murders. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. What did Jesus say? If you hold a grudge in your heart, what's that? It's the same thing. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things, Greek word is praso, and it means habitual without thought. It doesn't really bother you that you or someone you know is doing something. Then what Paul is saying here is, maybe you're not really saved. Oh, don't go there, Steve. I said that sinner's prayer probably 3 or 4 times. I worship and I raise my hands and I move to tears when the presence of the Lord is moving in the place. Okay. But when you leave this place, do you go out there and live like you never knew Jesus? Can you see what Paul is saying here? The New Testament principle is a model or a picture in the Old Testament. Yahshua is saying, get rid of your idols and follow God. And they're saying, Jesus, we so love you, we're going to always follow God. And Yeshua says, don't snow me, man. You got idols in your pockets. And I've been to some of your tents. And you've got idols in your house. Don't tell me you're going to follow the Lord because I know you're not. Look what Paul goes on to say. Those who practice such things, not fall into it now and again, or not really bugged by it and really asking the Lord to change, but people who just sort of, that's just what they do. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me rephrase. They're not saved. They never were. It happens to Nicole and I where people are kind of one way and social and engaging as often. And then when they find out that we're, oh, you're a pastor, or a pastor's wife, oh. And then they start coming across with all the token Christian things that they do in their lives. But the previous conversation was such that, well, this is what I do and this is what I feel. And you go, but yeah, but the Word of God says that's not right. Well, that's, you're just narrow. That's what you are. And then maybe even we'll pull out a book. You see this book, Daily Bread. I love this book. I read this book every single day. Well, great. But do you do it? I read God's Word every single day. Well, good. But are you practicing it? And if Harvest Family Fellowship exists, it certainly exists for one important reason. That we teach God's Word. That we do the best we know how to speak as plainly as we can what God's Word says. And then when people come up to us and they say, but I'm so doing that, and I say, or a friend of theirs say, but look at your fruit. And practically every time when a situation presents itself like this, the underlying threat comes through. You can't say that to me. We'll leave. Me and my checkbook will leave. You can't stick to that, Steve. Don't you understand? If you stuck there, there would be nobody in your church. Don't you understand what you're doing, Steve? You're so close. I'm always moved by the worship. And the word is really cool. It constantly, whoo, pokes me. And you're so close. If you could just crank out some more of the stuff that we love to do, the programs, then you'd be happening. You can't say that, Steve. You can't stand on that. People will leave. And we say to them with tears in our eyes very often, you misunderstand us. We don't do this so that we can get a paycheck. If God takes this whole building from us, that doesn't bother us. You've got to get tithing units in the seats. And you better open up and have more of the people come in and feel comfortable here. Your tithes will go up, your building will expand, and you'll have lots of people jumping and shouting to Yeshua. But what if Yeshua says, I'm not buying it. You got idols in your pockets. And you got idols in your heart. And you come to me and you say, can I, Lord, please, please, please? Okay. I'll let your idol do the talking. Idol talking is what's strangling America. It's what's strangling, in my opinion, the efficacy of the Church of Jesus Christ in these very last days. Idle talk. Verse 19, one more time, let's zoom to the end. Joshua said, no, don't tell me you're going to do that. You cannot. You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions because you are in willful disobedience. You're standing in the greatest worship service of all. You've seen more than practically any human ever under the sun. The parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan, the manna, the Shekinah glory, the walls of Jericho falling down, and you still have idols in your pocket. I can't help you, says the Lord. Back to Joshua now. You continually forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good. Verse 21, and the people said to Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve Him. And they said, Verse 23, you need to highlight this. Now therefore, He said, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Oh, no, you yabbits. I got my yabbits. I got my feelings. And incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. Oh, loved one, keep far away from idols. Don't flirt with stuff that you know God says stay away from. They will seduce you, and you'll think it's a God thing. As you work destruction after destruction in your marriage, in your ministry, and even in this church. Just like Israel, as we're going to see in the book of Judges. Verse 29, now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which He had done for Israel. And then the bones of Joseph of the book of Genesis fame, the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem. Cecil B. DeMille depicted that in the great movie, The Ten Commandments. It's wonderful. In the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, in which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill belonging to Phinehas his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. This is beautiful stuff right here, you guys. The book of Genesis closed with the promise of the land yet unfulfilled. And it was a dying Joseph, the last chapter, chapter 50 of Genesis, who said, I'll quote verse 25, "Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. We're not always going to be here in Egypt. And you shall carry my bones from here to there," or the promised land. The book of Genesis ended with the bones of Joseph not quite seeing the promise fulfilled. And the book of Joshua, the book of Yeshua, closes with Joseph's bones buried in the promised land. God is faithful. And if the promised land is the model of the Spirit-filled life, then Yeshua's strong exhortation to put away and stay away from idols is very important. Why? Because your idols will talk to you. They are very, very convincing. They can sound just like God's own voice, and they are very, very deadly. And they will work destruction, and ultimately you, like the people of God, will be uprooted out of the promised land and go, how'd we get here? Father, thank you for the book of Joshua. It's been one of my favorite studies, Lord. Real histories about real people, but they're all models for us even today. How to see and how to seize the promised land of the Spirit-filled life. And the last words of Yeshua to the people, we would do well to take to ourselves. Stay away from the idols, because idols will talk to you. And your feelings will embrace their words, and you will feel your way right out of God's will, and suddenly you too might look up and realize, hey, I'm not in the Spirit-filled life at all. The good news is you can get back any time. Get through that Jordan again. Ask God to fill you, to baptize you with the Holy Spirit once more. Fall on the rock of God's Word, the rock that is positioned beneath the tree. What's the tree? All that Jesus has done for me. Lord, I pray that we at Harvest take these teachings very, very seriously, because they are very, very important. Too many Laodicean Christians feel so good about their walk with the Lord and run the very real possibility that if they don't change, Jesus might say to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. Have you given the Lord Jesus Christ your whole life? Have you confessed your sins to Him? Have you said, Lord, you do the driving? Have you said, Lord, teach me your word? And Lord, by your grace and the strength of your Spirit, I will try more often than not to listen to my feelings, but hold your word above what the culture says, what my university training has taught me, or even all the people around my precinct when they discharge their great font of wisdom. But if it runs afoul of your word, Lord, then I gotta say so. Lord, I pray that Harvest Family Fellowship and her pastor, her shepherd, Lord, do what they know how to do to stay close to your heart,